Blog Talk Radio.
Today's sales leaders face a difficult task: selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new 3-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with you today. And this is a great time of year in most of the parts of the country in the U.S. And anyone listening anywhere else or later, I hope you're doing well. Today we have Steve Sless is coming on. And Steve Sless is a regular guest and commentator and brings us up to date. And it's such a pleasure to work with him and bring him in at least every few months because so many things are changing, and he's an expert. He stays totally, fully engaged in what he's doing. Nowadays, so much is changing, and we're changing things at the speed of light, but at the same time, the basics are still there. I don't think the basics of connecting people with people ever changes. And for agents and brokers listening, you know how we do the show. And for people that haven't listened before, we welcome you. We hope you get information that's going to be very enlightening, invigorating. And Steve has been in the mortgage industry for years, and he's been in reverse mortgages for quite a long time, too, years as well. And he's with First Nations Reverse Mortgage. And I'm going to let him tell us more about it because it's really interesting. You think of reverse mortgages in the old days, the old days is already like the 90s. I guess I better get with the future here. In the old days, some people were shying away from reverse mortgage, and now that's not the case at all. And the baby boomers we're all getting up there quickly, and it's just a phenomenal product and a great way to monetize your money. So many people these days have had, the markets have been good for a while, but people that went through 2000, 2010 went through clumps, and it's really about education, and that's what Steve does as well. So without further ado, I want to welcome Steve Sless. How you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you, dear?
I'm wonderful. So thank you so much for coming on, too, and keeping us up to date.
Always my pleasure. Great to be here.
Thank you. Hey, tell us, for those that do not know what a reverse mortgage is, give us a little bit of an explanation.
Yeah, so it's a very simple premise. So a reverse mortgage is a mortgage loan that allows you to optimize your retirement by strategically converting a portion of the wealth in your home. And what that does is it provides baby boomers and senior homeowners with increased liquidity, accessibility, and flexibility to be able to convert the wealth in their home, which in most cases, for most seniors in the country, is their largest asset. It allows them to use their largest asset in retirement planning. Retirement is not what it once was. It's a much more difficult feat now to fund your longevity and to fund your retirement. And so that's what I teach. I teach my clients how to strategically incorporate the wealth that they have amassed in their home over the years of paying off their mortgage in conjunction with the value of their home going up, and we teach them how to use the wealth in their home and to weave that within their existing retirement plan to strengthen that plan and protect their retirement.
That's it. I mean, with you, Stephen, you've been in, how long have you, because I know you've been in the mortgage business for a long time, and then the...
Too long.
10 years.
So
yeah,
I'm a 15-year mortgage veteran, the past decade exclusively reverse mortgages. That's all I do. That's all
and
I handle.
Young.
It's what
you're
passionate about.
You're young. I won't say your name. I know you're young, and you have a family. And no, it's because it's really funny how fast we get older. I mean, I was at a seminar a week and a half ago, and they were saying, okay, the woman was in her 70s, it was actually Joyce Myers, convention, and she said, okay, to those of you in your 20s and 30s, just wait till you see 50, 60, 70, right? It's like goes by really fast. And I can say if somebody being in my 50s now, it flies by. And I think with you being younger and raising your family, getting this financial education, it's you're getting such an edge, and you're teaching people for years on what to do as they get older. So I think it's something I would love to see it in schools, you know, at elementary age, like really young age, because we're not seeing that, but maybe we will at some point. So for you, you get to see the whole gamut. You get to see where people can start out early and what they can do later, and I bet that's just just a whole wide variety of education for what you're teaching everybody. So when I was just bringing that up because you get to really change lives. You get to really be empowered about what you're doing when you're educating these people. And I can only imagine how it's going to be in another 20 or 30 years, you know, when the younger generations are going to be using these programs, right, and how
Absolutely.
It affects the family. Because this, with the reverse mortgages, they're not only getting the monies to take care of them now, they're also helping with estate planning, right?
Absolutely. We look at the full picture. And I think, Natalie, I think the number one financial distress in retirement is lack of education. You know, and that's not just retirement. I think, you know, lack of education causes hardship in many different walks of life. But, you know, what I
Absolutely.
Focus on is client education. And, you know, the reason that I'm so passionate about what I do and the reason that I chose a decade ago to focus exclusively on this reverse mortgage product is because, you know, I noticed that I was beginning to work with a lot of baby boomer clients, you know, homeowners that are struggling to not necessarily struggling to pay their bills, but struggling to really get a grasp on retirement planning and, you know, worrying about how long they're going to live and how long their money's going to last. And, you know, so I made a decision a decade ago, I'm going to focus on reverse mortgages. I'm going to focus on the education aspect, and not as a salesperson. You know, my goal, of course, I would love to help all of my clients with the reverse mortgage, but, you know, I like to take many steps back first, begin with education, really provide a thorough knowledge and understanding of this program, because, you know, it's no secret reverse mortgages get a pretty bad rap because they're just misunderstood.
Right.
You know, reverse mortgages have been around for 35, almost 40 years now. Traditional mortgages have been around for hundreds of years. And so most are used to, you know, you obtain a mortgage and then you spend the rest of your life or many years of your life trying to pay down that mortgage. And, you know, there's a way to incorporate home wealth and weave that strategically within your existing retirement plan to help you live a better retirement. But if you don't understand it, then it's not something that you're able to accomplish. And so education
important
aspect of what I do.
Yeah, I love that about you because you've been on the show, you're regular, you know, to bring us and gotten to know you, and you really are about changing lives and empowering people. You're not just out there like trying to make a sale, which is what you do, and it's just you're really, really committed to this, and it's just it's fantastic. So what a lot of people, when they go in and they're setting up the retirement situation with the reverse mortgage, tell us when you go in, say you're going to tell somebody about it and they don't know anything about it other than, oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've seen it on TV before. I heard it's not good. I'm not going to do it. How do you start with people? Or do you base on where they know, what they know already? Or give us an example of, like, from starting from square one.
I mean, really, the first step is for me to ask questions and to learn about the person that I'm speaking with. You know, everybody has their own unique story, and everybody's situation has got them to a certain point in their life. And so, you know, I ask questions, number one, for me to determine whether I think this reverse mortgage is going to be a wise financial decision, whether I think that strategically using the wealth in the home is wise for them to incorporate into their retirement plan. And then we talk about all the risks in retirement. You know, seniors nowadays, baby boomers, this generation of baby boomers is facing many risks that previous generations haven't. You know, you have market risk, you have a withdrawal rate risk, you know, how much can they safely pool from their existing portfolio. You have long-term care risk, you know, and medical risk. That's Medicare and, you know, medical and long-term care risk. That could be a wrecking ball to one's retirement plan. And now you have, you know, taxation risk. Is the tax, you know, tax code going to change, and is that going to affect their retirement? But, you know, what I talk about the most with my clients is the number one risk in retirement is longevity, because longevity is
a
multiplier of every risk. Longevity is great to have, and everybody wants to live a long time. But the longer you live, the more likely the market is going to crash. The longer you live, the higher the likelihood of long-term or in-home care. And so it starts with me asking questions and then addressing the risks in retirement and then teaching how using the wealth that they've amassed within their home can hedge a lot of these risks in retirement and can help them fund their entire longevity. So when they get to a later stage in their life, you know, maybe they're doing okay right now and maybe they don't necessarily have a need for money right now, but you know, typically late 70s, early 80s, that's when the medical costs really start to add up, and that's when the likelihood that you're going to have some sort of long-term or in-home care need happens. And so not only are we planning for right now and helping them retire right now, but we're planning for the future to make sure that they're not going to run out of money in retirement.
You see a lot of people now having to work because they have to. Some people, when they're older, do because they want to, and then many are having to. With the reverse mortgage, if they say they're not retired and they still have were working, they can it doesn't have anything to do with that, right? They can get a reverse mortgage as long as they're 62.
Absolutely. So you need to be 62. At least one homeowner must be 62 years of age or older. The home must be the primary residence, so it's not for investment properties, it's not for second homes or vacation homes. And as long as the person meets the qualifications, now there's credit and income qualifications as well, very different than a traditional mortgage, so it's not credit score driven. We look at the entire credit profile and we look at what's called residual income to make sure that, you know, the homeowner can afford to pay their taxes and their insurance while in a reverse mortgage. The taxes and the insurance are the...
Okay.
So, yes, in 2015, credit and income requirements came into play. So prior to 2015, you just needed to be 62 and you needed to have enough equity to qualify. And what was happening was you had homeowners entering into reverse mortgages that were defaulting on their taxes and insurance. We weren't vetting anybody properly, you know, and anybody could get a reverse mortgage. And so HUD and FHA stepped in and they said, well, this is a problem. You know, the main responsibility in a reverse mortgage is to pay your taxes and your insurance. And we need to make sure that the homeowners that are entering into reverse mortgages have proven that they are responsible when it comes to credit and have enough residual income coming in each and every month that if they use the money, if they misuse the money that they obtained from a reverse mortgage, at least they still have enough income coming in to pay the homeowner's insurance and property taxes.
Oh, that's good. Well, so, now you said it's a lot different than a traditional. So say, for example, just, you know, I mean, a traditional, just say somebody makes, you know, has $30,000 coming in, you could take it, divide it by 12, times it by either 36 up to 41. I mean, just doing a quick Reader's Digest version of, like with loans, and sometimes they can take them up to 50, 60%. How different is it? Are they still more likely to qualify for a reverse mortgage than a regular mortgage? I don't know how
the ratios
work.
You've got to remember, Natalie, that you know reverse mortgages are designed for homeowners over 62, and many homeowners over 62 are living on a fixed income. And so the credit and income standards are different. So with traditional mortgages, underwriters look at DTI, debt-to-income ratio. And, you know, different lenders have offered different programs, and you can go up to, you know, 45% DTI or 35 or 50% DTI. It's been a long time since I've been in the traditional mortgage industry. With reverse mortgages, we look at residual income. So we look at how much money you have coming in, how much money you have going out each month, and there's a formula that's designed by FHA and by HUD that we plug into our system, and it tells us whether or not this person has enough residual income to qualify. And then we look at credit. Go ahead.
No. I'm just wondering, right? It's totally different. I'm just wondering what it's based on. If somebody says, but they have to call and find out. But is there like a number or a way to, like, I can calculate for mortgages, for regular mortgages. I know the different ratios. But is there a way to?
It's based on a few factors. So it's based on how many people occupy the home, how many residents live in the home. It's based on the geographic region of the country that you live in, because living the cost of living is different in different geographic regions of the country. So we take that into account as well. And then it also depends on the square footage of the home, because the larger the home, the more expensive it is to run and operate the home. And so there isn't any simple calculation. It's really just we plug in those three factors, and we look at how much money they have coming in and how much money they have going out, and they just need to meet the residual income requirements. But that's different depending on what geographic region of the country they're in and what the square footage of their home is.
Oh, okay. So that you mentioned FHA. So it's FHA that does reverse mortgages, basically, that backs them? Or how does it – I mean?
Yep. So FHA insures all reverse mortgage loans. They also make reverse mortgage loans non-recourse, which means that they – protect your heirs and protect your estate. So if you are in a position where if you're in a reverse mortgage for many years and the value of your home decreases over the years, if you wind up owing more on your reverse mortgage loan than what the value of the home is at the time that the reverse mortgage comes due, if there's a shortfall, FHA insurance covers that shortfall. FHA also insures all the loans, meaning that once you have a reverse mortgage, it can never be taken away from you as long as you pay the taxes and the insurance. And HUD's involvement is HUD is the governing body of reverse mortgages. So HUD kind of creates the rules and regulations. They regulate all reverse mortgage lenders. They regulate all reverse mortgage originators. And so you have two governing bodies at play. And really what they've done over the years is they've made the reverse mortgage a very, very safe way to use the wealth in your home to optimize your retirement. There's many protections in place. Not only are these loans non-recourse, but they've also put protections in place that preserve wealth in your home. And so you're not using all of the wealth in your home. You're using a portion of the wealth in your home. And this way you still have a lot of wealth and a lot of equity preserved to pass on to future generations.
That's fantastic. So what happens, say somebody's, they have the reverse mortgage, and then there's a couple, or maybe they become, get to the point where they have to go into assisted living, long-term care isn't going to work at home. They need to go, hopefully not in a rehab hospital, but, that it's that severe, they've got to move out of their home. Both, and no one's in there. Do they have to sell it, or can they still keep the home if there's any chance of them coming back, or under the reverse mortgage, or does it, because I know there's
the home must be the primary residence. So if you're going to be out of the home for more than 6 months and a day out of the year, then that would be technically no longer your primary and principal residence. I've seen this situation over the years, being in this business as long as I have, I've had clients over the years that I've originated reverse mortgages for, and they've come back to me and said, Steve, what do? We no longer can maintain the home. We're just going to opt to move into an assisted living facility. And so they would sell the home at that point. they would pay off the amount of money that they borrowed plus interest with the reverse mortgage. They would pay off the reverse mortgage. The remaining equity would be theirs to keep, and then they would move into the assisted living facility.
Okay. So that's how that would be. That would work. They would have to sell pretty much if it's over 6 months.
Correct.
Okay. So like snowbirds, if you, you know, people, many people, just from many people live in cold climates or, I mean, warm climates in the, you know, go summer and spring, and then in the winter when it's cold, go to other places to live for the winter and come back. As long as it's not 6 months, that's okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a lot of my clients, again, a lot of my clients, you know, I have clients up here, I'm in Maryland, so I have a lot of clients up here. It gets awful cold here in the winter, and they spend their winters in warmer climates, whether it's Florida or the Carolinas. Texas is very popular, a very popular place to go right now for retirees, Arizona. So, yeah, I mean, they have either second homes there, or they have, you know, timeshares, or they just go for weeks at a time, and they come back, and they still maintain the home that they have the reverse mortgage on as their primary residence.
That's fantastic. You know the compound interest, which I wish I would have learned about when I was a kid. I think they should teach it in first grade, second grade, because just the idea, you know, many people, I mean, you mentioned education, but thinking about how that penny just duplicates and duplicates, you know how things just keep growing and growing. You know, if you're not, it's, many people don't realize it, and it's easy to not realize it because it's again part of education. And many people just think, well, these are my bills, this is my money, I bring in and I spend it, instead of investing for the future. With this, I'm kind of going deeper here with the reverse mortgages, is the way it's set up kind of, because you also, there's also, I know a few times you've been on, you talked about how they can earn interest on the money, or they can earn money, and money can grow for them. Is that tied in kind of in a sense like an annuity, or can you tell us a little bit about how that would work so they're not only
getting
money out now? Okay.
So there's a few different options when it comes to receiving the funds. You know, the first thing that we need to do is we need to determine how much of the wealth within their home can be converted. And so there's a simple formula. It's based on the value of the home. So we would have a licensed FHA appraiser come out to inspect the home, perform an appraisal on the home. They would determine what the value of the home is based on the comparable sales in the area. It's also based on the age of the youngest borrower and also based on current interest rates. And so based on those three factors, I can then say, here's how much money you qualify for. And then we determine how the homeowner wishes to receive their funds. And so they have a few options. The first option is a tenure, which is a lifetime check. So you're converting the wealth in your home, a portion of the wealth in your home, and you're going to now receive a check in the mail each and every month, guaranteed cash flow for the rest of their life. And so that's a very popular way to structure a reverse mortgage loan for homeowners that have an immediate need for monthly cash flow. You know, we do some analysis, we look at their existing portfolio, and we look at how much money they have coming in, and together we make the determination whether we think it's going to be wise to set up a 10-year payment. Another option is a term payment, where I say, here's how much money you qualify for, and they say, okay, great, I would like to receive that money over the next 10 years or over the next 20 years. And they would receive equal payments until the money is gone over 10, 20, 30 years, however long they would like to receive that money. The third option is a lump sum. So if they have immediate need for a large amount of money, maybe they want to purchase a vehicle, or maybe they have another need for money, they want to do repairs to the home that would increase the value in their home, or retrofitting their home. You know, and that's very popular nowadays for baby boomers, customizing and tailoring the home to meet their needs as a senior homeowner now. You know, so wheelchair lifts, ramps, different ways to customize the home to make it more comfortable for them to live at home for the rest of their life. And then what you were talking about before, the line of credit. And so the line of credit really is the holy grail of benefit here when it comes to how to take the money. So you can put the money into a line of credit, and that line of credit grows over time, and it's compounding growth. So it grows by 0.5% over whatever the current interest rate on the loan is. So simple math. Currently, interest rates are about 5%. You would be receiving, as of today, about 5.5% growth on your line of credit. So you take out a line of credit for $100,000 today. $100,000 line of credit becomes $105,000, becomes $115,000, becomes $130,000, and so on and so forth. And it's compounding growth. So you're growing on top of the growth each and every month, each and every year. And what that does is that's a perfect scenario for somebody who says, Steve, I don't need money right now. I'm in my young 60s, maybe my mid-60s. I'm doing okay. Maybe I'm still working. What I want to do is I want to make sure that I protect my future. I want to make sure that I have funds to turn to that if I have a medical emergency or if I need to make a purchase later on in life or when I pass away, I want to make sure that my wife or my husband is able to live a comfortable retirement. You can set this line of credit up early in life, let it grow. Later in life, when you have a greater need for the money, you've grown this line of credit over the years, and you've compounded growth on this line of credit over the years, and you're able to borrow a lot more money later on in life when it's most important to have that money.
You mean early in life when you're still really young at 62, right? Is what do you mean?
Early in life to me is 62. So 62 is
okay.
62
no,
is
I love
the
that. I'm
earliest
just
that you can
I can't,
obtain.
You can't do it earlier. Well, I'm back at up. Okay, that okay. So if they're doing that, and is that a better? They're going to make more money than say they just have their house and they take out an equity line of credit, and they use the money on an equity line of credit. Which usually a lot of the equity lines might be fixed for the first year or 2 years, but then or many times it's interest only, or they're not fixed after a certain point, you know, from the beginning. So is the reverse mortgage doing it this way is better when you work the numbers out? Is it better?
Well, so I would say it depends on each person's individual circumstance. You know, I find in many cases a reverse mortgage line of credit is far more beneficial for my clientele over 62 years of age or older, because there's no monthly payment requirement. And so with the reverse mortgage, all of the money that you borrow, number one, it's tax-free. And we'll talk about, and I want to get to some of the tax implications and the tax savings by using the wealth in the home and not depleting your other assets. We'll get to that in a moment because that's an important thing to cover. But, you know, there's vast differences between a reverse mortgage line of credit and a traditional home equity line of credit. And so the number one difference is the monthly payment. So you go to the bank, you take out a home equity line of credit, you have to make a mandatory monthly payment starting the very next month. And so, you know, cash flow purposes, yes, you're obtaining a large portion of money from the bank and you're able to borrow that money, but you still have to make a monthly payment, whatever that monthly payment is, $400, $500, $1,000 a month. It's depleting your cash flow on a monthly basis. I would say the second difference is home equity lines of credit through the bank are not FHA insured. Reverse mortgage loans are FHA insured. And so
this is a non-recourse too, right? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you think back, Natalie, I mean, I'm sure you remember this, you know, when the whole mortgage meltdown happened back in 08 and 09, a lot of homeowners that had lines of credit extended were pulled or frozen with their banks. The bank said, the value of your home has decreased and we can no longer offer you this line of credit. And by the way, we're going to call it due and you need to start paying it. You need to pay us back the money that you borrowed. A reverse mortgage line of credit, because it's FHA insured, can never be frozen, can never be taken away from you. And so when you have a lot of market volatility, that's a huge, huge,
that's huge. That's
peace of mind right there to know that you set this up because you have a need for money and the bank can never say, well, the value of your home, you know, has gone down, so we're not going to offer this to you. This is a reverse mortgage line of credit is uncorrelated to markets. It's uncorrelated to the value of your home, you know, and the growth on the line of credit is guaranteed. And that's something that you never will see with a traditional home equity line of credit. You borrow money from the bank, they give you a fixed amount of money.
Right. Well, years ago, I mean, they had programs where they were teaching people, they probably still do, where people would learn to get an equity line, pay their bills out of their equity line because they were writing that off. And so they were doing it every month, and people had, and exactly what you just said happened to many people. You know, they may have had a $100,000 line. All of a sudden, they got a letter from the bank, sorry, your line's been reduced to $10,000 now, you know, or, I mean, not just because of, not even value, just for because of the economy, because of everything. You know, they had a right to do it. And, boy, many, many people that were thought they were in good positions were hurt terribly. And that was... So that this can't be done. That's fantastic. What about the interest rates? Say right now they start off at 5.5%. Is that fixed? Does it go up, or can they refinance it, or and get more out of it later if all of a sudden the rates are going up to 8% and more would be paid out, or is that pretty much just set in stone once they do it?
Yeah, so interest rates on the money borrowed from a reverse mortgage are very comparable to traditional mortgage rates. So right now they're around 5%. They're based on the LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate, and that is different than traditional mortgage rates. So traditional mortgage rates are based on, you know, the 10-year Treasury bond or the prime rate. A lot of home equity lines of credit are based on prime, prime plus half, prime plus one, prime plus two. Reverse mortgages are based on the LIBOR, and they're based on the LIBOR because the LIBOR historically has been a very safe index for rates to be based on. And so you don't see what I call the bathtub effect. You don't see rates constantly going up and down like a wavy, imagine a wavy bathtub, you know, we're going up and down and up and down. Typically, reverse mortgage rates stay about the same. They have gone up over the past recent weeks, no different than traditional mortgage rates. Now, it's important to point out that the interest on a reverse mortgage is only paid on the money that's borrowed. And so if you set up a reverse mortgage and you take a line of credit, you don't have a need for immediate money right now. Your goal is to grow your money over time in case you do have a need. We call it in the industry, we call it a standby reverse mortgage. You're setting it up, you're putting it on standby, it's on hold. There's only interest accruing on the money that you've actually taken and borrowed. And so if you don't borrow any money from the reverse mortgage, you never owe any money, and there's no interest ever accruing on that money. Only the money that you borrow accrues interest over time.
Okay.
Now, the growth on the line of credit is the growth on the line of credit is its own separate entity. So the growth on the line of credit is guaranteed growth, and that will always be 0.5% over current interest rates. So actually, the higher interest rates go, the more your line of credit grows over time.
Okay, so it's not locked in. That's fantastic. It's not locked in to be limited. That's great.
Yep.
Now, does that line of credit pass on to heirs, or when they say, for example, we have the scenario I asked you about before, somebody, people have to go in assisted living or long-term care. They can't stay at home. The house is going to have to be sold. So when that house is going to be sold, what happens to that line of credit?
So the line of credit,
if
it's never used, if the line of credit is never used, it's never owed, but the growth on the line of credit and the line of credit itself does not pass on to your heirs. And so the line of credit is designed to provide the senior homeowner with liquidity, accessibility, and flexibility as they age within the comfort of their own home. So if they never, if they never use the line of credit, it's never owed. There's nothing to, you know, it doesn't get paid back through the sale. What gets paid back through the sale of the home is the amount of money that you borrowed plus the amount of interest that has accrued during that time if the homeowner chose not to make monthly mortgage payments. And so that's where the flexibility aspect of reverse mortgages comes into play.
Okay.
So they can choose whether to make monthly mortgage payments or not, any amount of money that they like to or not. And it's really whatever works best for them.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But the so tell us, so what if somebody's scenario, you get a lot of people that are working, they can pay their mortgages, they pay their taxes, they ran up a bunch of credit card debt, they don't want to file bankruptcy, they can't pay their credit cards, and they just tell their credit card company they can't negotiate, just I'm not paying them anymore. All of a sudden the credit score, you know, credit score is going to go down because they're not paying on their credit cards, right? But they're paying on everything else. How does that work? Would that preclude them from getting one? Because, I mean, I don't know how you said that credit is not credit score driven. So how is it work How do they look at it? Do you look at it like years ago when the underwriters would actually say, hey, this makes sense? Or do you would you say, no, we've got to lump these other debt into the amount we're going to borrow? I'm going deep with questions I think people would be
asking.
Yeah,
no, I love
many
it. I love
homeowners.
It.
Okay.
And so credit, when I say it's credit-driven, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have poor credit or if you've had some struggles over the past recent years that you cannot obtain a reverse mortgage. So there is what's called a LISA, a lifetime expectancy set aside. And so if the underwriter determines that you don't have the credit worthiness or that because of some of the credit challenges over the recent years, that you can't qualify unless there is a LISA, a lifetime expectancy set aside. And what we would do in that case is it's basically a forced escrow account. And so we would find out how much your taxes and your insurance are. We would do projections to figure out how much those are going to be over your lifetime. And then out of the proceeds from the reverse mortgage, your taxes and your insurance would be paid. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't qualify for a reverse mortgage. It just might mean that we need to use a portion of the proceeds from the money that you can obtain, and instead of giving them to you in cash or in a line of credit, we're going to use some of these proceeds to ensure that you're always going to be able to pay your taxes and your homeowner's insurance.
I see, because it would do that, though.
Now, if the borrower doesn't have the equity to set up this set-aside, then at that point they might not qualify for the loan because you got to remember, these are the amount of money that they qualify for is only a portion of the wealth within their home. We don't want to use all the wealth. We're not ever buying their home or taking over all their wealth. We are just allowing them to borrow a portion of the equity in their home. So if somebody comes to me and they have a $200,000 home, they owe $100,000 on the home, there might be enough equity to pay off their existing mortgage, but not enough equity to give them any cash over and above that. And so then if we need to set up this account to pay their taxes and their insurance, there might not be enough equity for them to qualify for the loan at that point.
Right, that makes sense. I can see you would pull that out of it. Okay. We're almost time's been flying by as usual.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does, doesn't it? So in the reverse mortgage, it's negative amortization, right? But not right overall.
Correct. So reverse mortgages.
Payments.
So basically, I like to explain it like this. I think this is easy to understand.
Yeah.
So just like a traditional mortgage, there is a would-be payment. With a traditional mortgage, you're making that payment every month. And so with a reverse mortgage, there's a would-be payment. If you're going to make a payment to pay down principal and interest, here's how much money you would pay. It is up to the borrower to either make a payment or not, or, to make a reduced payment or just to pay interest only. There's 100% flexibility with this type of loan. And so if the client decides, for cash flow purposes, it just makes more sense for me to forego making mortgage payments, to eliminate my mortgage payment, and to be able to create that extra cash flow each and every month. And so if the homeowner chooses to not make a monthly mortgage payment, that would-be payment each and every month gets added to the balance of the loan, and that balance of the loan becomes due and payable when either they leave the home permanently or when they pass away.
Okay. What is the I haven't been in a tax plan because is it 3 years or 5 years that people have talked about for years where, all of their assets, if they're going into a long-term care facility or a facility where they just can't do on their own and it's quite expensive, you hear about where the state kicks in or Medicare kicks in, but if people have assets that they deplete all the assets first, so you've always heard about people trying to do long-term planning, getting the assets out of their name for 3 to 5 years. If they're going to be leaving monies or estates, planning, was that 3 years, 5 years, or can you tell us a little bit about how that would work?
I would advise for them to seek out further education with somebody in that field. I wouldn't be comfortable speaking on that because I think each I
no,
think
no,
each,
I understand. Yeah. Well,
I think
I'm not
each
either
individual
because
place
we're not
has
supposed
their
to
own
give
requirements.
Advice. Well, we're not supposed to give advice or anything, and it always has to be where somebody's doing it legally, right? You know, but you hear about if it's with states. I mean, in each state where it's like, maybe it's federal, 3 to 5 years. I don't know that it's. I mean, I think it's more government related, but I agree, they'd have to see with their long-term planning, seek out that information. But I think with the states or federal, it's either 3 or 5 years. I'm not sure.
I'm not too sure on that either.
Yeah. Kind of it makes sense. It's kind of sad, though, when you think about, you know, the way if somebody doesn't plan out how everything can be depleted, you know, it's just somebody can't do – I mean, it's just like if somebody's filing a bankruptcy, they have to do it – I mean, they shouldn't be, you know, taking – you know, they have to show that they're in debt and they do it. But I think on long-term planning, as far as assets and turning over charitable trust or long-term, and there's just so much stuff that you're right. Education is the key, isn't it? It really is.
Absolutely.
It
absolutely. And you need to, you know, retirement is difficult enough as it is. If you go into retirement without a plan, gosh, then it becomes really difficult. And so, you know, when not only do you need a plan for retirement, but you need constant checkups on your existing portfolio and on your plan, because, you know, I've had a lot of clients over the years that said, you know, yeah, we have a plan for our retirement. And I say, okay, well, when did you make that plan for retirement? Well, we planned for retirement in our 40s and 50s, and now they're sitting in front of me in their 60s and early 70s. Well, gosh, how much has changed over the years? You know, you look at inflation, you look at the cost of healthcare going up throughout the years, you look at just gas prices. And so if you don't constantly go back and maintain your retirement plan, and if you don't talk to experts in the field, not just myself, you know, not just a reverse mortgage expert, but experts in the field, whether it's long-term care insurance, whether it's just managing your portfolio, there's a lot of good people out there that can help you sustain a successful and optimized retirement. But you have to be able to go out and you have to be willing to seek the help and to seek the education. You know,
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You said there was. I didn't want to cut you off in your thought.
So, you know, I was going to say there was a study that I saw the other day, and it was done by the Economic Policy Institute, and it's the study showed that the average household age 56 to 61 has amassed about $163,000 in retirement. And so when I mentioned this stat to my clients, or when I have educational seminars and I mention this stat, you have some people in the room that say, "That's all," and then you have other people in the room that says, "Gosh, $163,000, I don't have anywhere near that." But then there was another stat that came out by HealthView Services, and HealthView Services did a study, and that study shows that the average healthy couple in retirement is going to spend $377,000 on medical costs, and that doesn't take into consideration long-term or in-home care if they need it. And so look at that math. You know, the average American household, you have $163,000, yet the average healthy couple, that's a healthy couple, $377,000 over their lifetime to just pay for medical care. It's backwards math.
Lifetime.
And that's lifetime. Lifetime.
Right.
Lifetime. So baby boomers need to plan for especially medical expenses. You know, medical expenses are a wrecking ball to any retirement plan. You know, and unfortunately, I've sat with a lot of clients across from me at my office, and they say, you know, we had a great plan for retirement, and then we got sick, or then we had a fall, or then we had an accident. And now that whole retirement plan is turned upside down. And so you need to account for the likelihood that you're going to have medical expenses come up throughout your lifetime.
Right, exactly.
And the other thing we haven't touched on yet, Natalie, is we talked about before how to receive the funds from the reverse mortgage. But I wanted to come back for a minute, if you don't mind. The tax savings, and really now we start to get very strategic when it comes to maximizing your wealth in retirement. And so think about it. You have your existing retirement portfolio, and whether you're taking just minimal distributions or whether you're drawing a certain amount of money out of your portfolio each and every month, chances are a large portion of that money is taxed. You know, whether it's 20% tax or 25% tax, that's taxed money. Using the wealth in your home, the amount of money that you borrow from the wealth in your home to live a better retirement, it's tax-free because it's not income. We're not giving you anything that isn't already yours. What this reverse mortgage program does is it provides you with accessibility and flexibility. And so you're able to access your funds tax-free. And so there's a lot of great retirement researchers out there, you know, CFPs and PhDs and people with a lot more titles behind their name than I have that have come out recently and said, you know, home wealth must be incorporated into any retirement plan if you want to maximize and optimize that retirement plan. And so the savings by using the wealth in the home first and letting your other assets grow, especially if the market's doing what it's done over the past, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, that tax savings will allow you to live not outlive your money and stretch your money a lot longer than it would have gone otherwise.
Wow. I love it. That's there's so much to know in it. So wait a minute, how does everybody contact you? And our people that listen all the time know they can go to realityuniversal.com and fill out the contact form or email at radio@realityuniversal.com and we'll give everybody information. But how about you giving your contact information too?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my name is Stephen Sless, S-L-E-S-S. My website is a great way to contact me. I also have a lot of educational content. There's video explainer videos on there, and there's really excellent content, I think, that I've produced. It's all up on the website. The website is www.morewithsless.com, all one word, no spaces, morewithsless.com. Facebook as well, my Facebook page. I'm very active on Facebook. I post articles every day about retirement planning and how to use equity in the home to fund a better retirement. If you go to Facebook, you hit the @ @morewithsless, all one word, all, no spaces in between. On Twitter, morewithsless, everything is morewithsless because that's my promise.
Yeah.
To me, morewithsless is just it's more than just a tagline. It's a promise.
I love
it's
it.
It's a vow to anybody that I work with. Expertise. Better customer service and just an overall a better experience that you're going to come to find with anybody else in the industry. I really try to go above and beyond for all of my clients.
Yeah.
And then my phone number, so they can reach me by phone as well, 443-901-7680 to contact me by phone directly.
Love it. I love it. Okay, so we've got about 10 minutes left. It flies by.
It's amazing.
I'm going to turn it over to you to tell, you know, whatever you think I didn't ask and we didn't cover that you think is important to know or just kind of a recap.
I think as a recap, you know, a few key takeaways from this show today. And then look, I mean, it's a lot of education to jam into a one-hour show.
It's
the same thing that I tell.
Right.
I hold a lot of educational events and speaking engagements across the Mid-Atlantic, and I speak for an hour, and I tell everybody, look, this hour is going to go by super fast. You're going to have questions after you listen to me speak today. You know, your listeners are going to have questions after the show today.
Exactly.
So we can really only cover the bullet points. There's a lot more education and a lot more specific detail that we can dive into on an individual basis. So I certainly encourage anybody that's listening today to reach out to me, contact me directly, and let's spend some time together and let's really dive deep, analyze what your existing retirement plan looks like now. And then I will let you know, based on those three factors that we talked about before, the value of your home, the age of the youngest homeowner, and current interest rates, I'm going to tell you, here's how much cash you can get. And then together we can figure out what way is going to be the most optimal way for you to access those funds. But as a recap, you know, a reverse mortgage allows for a few things. It allows for more efficient retirement cash flow options. Provides you with greater accessibility, it provides you with greater flexibility, and what it does is it allows you to go into retirement, or if you're already in retirement, just have more financial freedom, have more financial security and peace of mind. You know, peace of mind to know that you're doing everything that you can do to help fund your longevity and to not run out of money in retirement. You know, and you're in complete control. You know, funds can be turned on or off at the homeowner's demand. So let's say, Natalie, somebody sets up a 10-year payment, right? They're receiving money each and every month for the rest of their life. If they determine that they don't have a need for the money anymore, they turn off the funds. Funds are no longer coming in. If they have a need for money in the future, they turn the funds back on. And so that's where the flexibility of this comes in. You know,
it's not like with an equity line where they could say, well, you're not using it, so we're going to do whatever. But, you know, or I mean, not that they do that because if you owe money, but that's fantastic. I do have a quick question, real quick question I wanted to ask before. You know, we have FHA limits around the country. And, of course, in Hawaii, I mean, you can spend buy a place 700 and some back. You can go much higher, even higher than that on FHA. You know, Maryland maybe 400, 500 some back. Depends on your counties. Depends on where you are around the country. Does that apply so for example, say they get to use 50% of the equity they have in their home, but it's going to be within the FHA limits, right? So if they have a home that's worth, you know, $1.5 million, they're not going to maybe be able to use $750,000, right? Is that going to be max on the FHA limit or what?
Correct. So there's the limit on FHA financing for reverse mortgages is $679,000. So
Everywhere? Does it matter where you are?
That's everywhere. Yeah, so reverse mortgages are different. I know with traditional mortgages, it's based on counties and geographic regions.
Right.
With reverse mortgages, it's the same across the board. Now, there is, and we didn't touch on this yet because there's so much to cover, there is a proprietary reverse mortgage. It's a jumbo reverse mortgages for homeowners that have higher dollar homes. And that program is excellent. Mm-hmm. What we would do is we would look at both options. We would look at the traditional home equity conversion mortgage, the traditional reverse mortgage insured by FHA, and then we would look at the proprietary product that's out there, the jumbo reverse mortgage. And we weigh the options.
Okay, so there is a jumbo.
We determine which way is going to be the best way for you to go.
So there is a jumbo. So when you say the 600 and some for FHA, does that mean their max they could get is 300 and some, or 600 and some could even be higher? It's just a total, right?
So that limit is basically if the home appraised for $800,000, we would only base the loan on $679,000, and so you would get a portion of that $679,000. It depends on those three factors that we discussed before. I'd say on average you're probably looking at about 40 to 45, maybe up to 46-47%, depending on age, of the wealth in your home that can be converted.
Good. Wow, this has really been a great show. Covered so much in an hour, and it's such a good product, you know, overall.
I mean, you know, Everybody in my live events and my seminars says, Steve, this sounds great, but tell us something that's bad. You know, tell us why maybe we shouldn't get a reverse mortgage. You know, and so what I say is, look, there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of risks out there. Everybody's situation is different, but what it comes down to is this: are you comfortable using the wealth in your home as a financial planning tool? Because that's what this does. This is just another way to optimize your retirement. And what I always advise is, look, I understand why homeowners are hesitant about reverse mortgages. It's a different mindset.
Right.
They've worked their whole life to pay down a 30-year mortgage in most cases. And they come to one of my events, and then they say, Steve, now you're telling me that after we paid this mortgage down for 30 years and we've blood, sweat, and tears have been poured into paying off our mortgage and putting ourselves in a position where we have equity in our home, now you're telling me that I should put a mortgage on my home? I should take out a mortgage to optimize my retirement? And my answer is always, you have to be comfortable that in today's day and age and in how difficult it is to retire today, all options should be presented clearly
I totally
and
agree.
On the table.
All options. All options.
And maybe maybe you are comfortable
options.
And maybe you aren't, you know. But many homeowners over the years that I've worked with, I mean, and I'm talking, I mean, I've done this for 10 years, so I don't even know.
Many.
I've worked with a lot of people over the years, and I wouldn't be as passionate as I am about what I do if I didn't see true success stories each and every day of my clients optimizing their retirement because they were open-minded enough to use the wealth that they've created within their home equity.
Right. Makes sense. And, you know, a lot of people that are older, maybe 70s, 80s, you know, they may or may not want to travel, many like to do when it's easy to travel. And many don't want to leave their home. That home has been such a source of comfort for so long that they don't want to leave, and many are selling because they think they have to leave, right? Or they can't afford it. So I think this is such a great option, and it's set up so much better. I feel good that it's FHA, you know, that's done through FHA. That gives you gives the homeowner a lot of safety precautions.
Absolutely.
And the non-recourse is like, wow, that's really good. You know?
The non-recourse, I mean, to me, the non-recourse aspect, that peace of mind that comes with that, it's just irreplaceable. You know, that is the best aspect of this program, because that's what allows you to use your home as a retirement planning tool and know with certainty that you're never going to pass on a debt to your heirs and to your estate that cannot be paid back by just simply selling the home.
Right.
And even
that's
if
perfect.
There's more owed on the reverse mortgage than what the value of the home is, you're not leaving anybody a debt, and you're not passing on a debt to your estate. And so if you pass away and you owe more on the reverse mortgage than what the value of the home is, but you have $500,000 sitting in stocks and bonds and mutual funds, none of those can be touched. Those get passed on to your heirs no different than they would otherwise. And FHA insurance, because these loans are non-recourse, the FHA covers the difference. And so the peace of mind that comes with that is just irreplaceable.
Absolutely. Wow, you gave us more good nuggets today, just as always.
It's what I'm here for. That is what I'm here for. It's all about education, Natalie. It's all about education.
I love it. Love it. We should do a Facebook Live sometime, because there's so many people, you know, that get out there that are it is all about education. So many people do not know. And there's many people struggling, and they don't know a penny on their house, but they're struggling. If they're not struggling, it's a different story, you know. But
that's why the customizable aspect of this is so important. You know, this is designed not only for people that need money, because at one point, you know, reverse mortgages were looked at as a loan of last resort. You know, if you were later in life and you needed money, you went and you turned to a reverse mortgage to get quick access to cash, and it's just not a loan of last resort.
Right.
There's so many ways to tailor this. And it takes education. You know, what I like all the time is when I hold these live events and people come out and I ask them, what do you know about reverse mortgages? Tell me what you think of them. Because I want to kind of gauge the room and have an understanding of what people think going in. And, you know, I always get, well, the lender owns my home. You're going to buy my home for me. And you're going to, you know, give me a certain amount of money for the home, and then you're going to sell it afterwards. And it's just not the case. Or, you know, I'm just going to get a one-time lump sum payment for my home, you know, and that's not the case either. This is designed as a retirement planning solution, a solution to help fund your longevity. And so I love, you know, when I talk to my guests and my attendees before my event and then after the event, and they say, wow,
I bet.
You know, none of what we thought was true is true. And it is just a totally different program than we thought it was. You know, and I think, I know we only have a couple minutes left. I'll close with this. I think overall, over the years, reverse mortgages have gotten a bad rap because they've been mismarketed. You know, you think reverse mortgage, and what's the first thing you think? You think Tom Selleck. You think Henry Winkler. And the cheesy marketing that's been used over the years to market reverse mortgages, instead of talking about all these different things that you and I have talked about today that make it a retirement planning tool, you know, that has kind of it's cheesed up reverse mortgages a little bit. And I think they get a bad rap because of how the program has been marketed over the past 30 years.
And it's structured so differently, yeah. And with the, you know, the fun, one, with the interest rates being so low to get it, and then the equity rising with the rates, like, so if it goes up, they're going to be in a better benefit if they're taking that credit line. It's amazing. So I'm just loving it. So we're at the end, Olga. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Glad to be here. I appreciate you having me.
And, yeah, we'll talk soon, and we'll have you back shortly, too.
So everybody needs to reach out. Absolutely. I look forward.